God said, "Ah, that's the fellow." And Samuel poured oil on his head, and the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him. And when the Spirit of God came upon the shepherd boy, he became what God wanted him to be. He became a king. I have a feeling deep within me that there's someone here that before you were born, God had a plan concerning your life. And he has been waiting for this week to release the Holy Spirit so that you can become what he wanted you to become. If you are the one, let me hear you say amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, Samuel said to Saul, who was just a farmer's boy, he said, "The Spirit of God will come upon you and you will prophesy." How do we change an ordinary farmer's boy to a prophet? The answer is the Holy Spirit. In Judges 13, verse 1 to 5, Judges 13, verse 1 to 5, an angel told a woman that is going to give birth to a son, and that son is going to be a leader, a judge in Israel. When you now read verses 24 and 25 of the same passage, Judges 13, verses 24 and 25, the Bible said after that son was born, that was going to be a leader, that was going to be a judge, the Spirit of God began to move him. When the Spirit of God comes on someone, he becomes what God says he will be. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ said, "You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you become a witness." Now, a witness is someone who produces evidence. A witness is someone who produces proof. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you become someone who can produce proof. Proof that Jesus is the Savior. Proof that Jesus is the healer. Proof that Jesus is the deliverer. Because he will be performing those actions through you. I have no doubt about it at all. It may be only one person, maybe two or three. But God has been waiting for this week so that he can release the Holy Spirit upon you, and then you become what he wants you to be. In that question that Mary asked, she was also saying, like somebody had mentioned earlier on, how do I achieve the impossible? Because a virgin can't have a son without meeting a man. That'd be an impossibility. In every way you can look at it, scientifically, biologically, etc., etc. How will the impossible become possible? How do I achieve the impossible? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. In Judges 14, verse 5 to 6, Judges 14, verse 5 to 6, the Bible tells us that when Samson was going down to Timnath, a lion roared at him, and the Spirit of God came on him mightily. And because the Holy Spirit came on him, he took the lion and tore it into two. And it was as if he was tearing a little kid, small goat. Now, I've always told the story that years ago, I went to visit a zoo in one part of Nigeria. And there was this huge lion in a very, very strong cage. The irons for the cage were very strong ones. And the cage for this lion alone was about from the beginning to the end of this auditorium. Now, whenever the lion is walking away towards that end, all of us came close to the cage to watch the king of animals in his majesty. Now, when he gets to the end of the cage, he turns around. And the moment he turns around, we all move back. Anointing or no anointing. Now, I want you now to imagine a young man coming face to face with that king of animals, taking it by the legs and tearing it as if you are tearing paper. That takes the Holy Spirit. It's the same Judges chapter 15, verse 14 to 15. Judges 15, verse 14 to 15. The Bible tells us that when they brought this same Samson bound to his enemies, the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. The ropes binding him just went as if burnt by fire. And the Holy Spirit is also represented by fire. You will find that in the book I'm talking about. And then he took the jawbone of an ass, strategically placed there by God, I'm sure. And with it, he killed 1,000 men. Now, when we read these stories, we don't dwell on them. So we don't get the import of what God said happened. Let us assume that this man hasn't got the jawbone of an ass. Let us assume that he had a machine gun that could fire 100 rounds. And assume there are 1,000 of us soldiers. Okay. So he's firing his machine gun. By the time he killed 100, the rest of us should be able to overpower him. But he was using the jawbone of an ass. Could swing this way and then swing this way. Now, when he swings this way, what are the rest of these people doing? Why don't they grab him? Why don't they knock him down? Why don't they overpower him? Know the answer? Holy Spirit. How do I destroy the enemies of God? It takes the Holy Spirit. How do I make the impossible possible? That's what we're looking at now. When you consider Judges 16, verse 1 to 3, see, talking about the same Samson. Judges 16, verse 1 to 3. Bible said Samson was in Gaza. The people heard that he was in Gaza. And they shut the gate. They said, we waited the morning before we attack him. One man, a whole army, said, we waited morning, daybreak. We don't want to attack him in the night. Why? What do they need the light for? So that they'll be able to run. I want you to imagine yourself becoming a terror to a whole nation. It takes the Holy Spirit. I don't want to waste your time telling you too many stories, even though they are all very relevant. There was a time when I couldn't go to my village because of forces of darkness. But now, when I want to come to my village, I announce my coming. So that those forces of darkness can go on holidays. I don't want to kill them before they are saved. What turns a man to a terror, to forces of darkness? What's the answer? All right, now he woke up in the middle of the night and shook the entire city gate loose and carried it to the mount of a hill and said, you want your gate back? You have to walk to get it back. Now what that one tells me, how do I first open the gate of a city so that the light of the gospel can flood it? How do I take Baltimore for Jesus? How do I take the whole of Maryland? How do I take the whole of America? You know the answer? Say it loud and clear. You know, there was a time in Nigeria when, in my hunger to do the work of God, we began to hold crusades. And when we want to hold a crusade in a city, we will call all the ministers together, feed them, and explain to them, we are coming, we want to hold a crusade in your city. And they will come, they will eat my food, they will promise me, oh, there are no problem, we will cooperate. And on the day of the crusade, they will all fix programs for their churches so that there be nobody to attend my crusades. After some time, out of frustration, I went back to God. I want to do your work. I'm spending, I'm being spent. I'm not getting results. And he said, well, the fault is yours. You're trying to do the work of God without the Holy Spirit. And then you probably know the history of the Holy Ghost service, which we call Festival of Life here. Because maybe they don't want to hear the word Holy Ghost. Yeah, it's maybe one day you wake up and say, no, it's not Festival of Life, it's Holy Ghost service, period. Maybe you will see some mighty changes too. And the era of the Holy Ghost service came. Now they are begging me to come. Every city. I have more, as I'm sitting down here, more than 50 invitations. Please come and conduct the Holy Ghost service in our city. How do you first open the gates of a city so you can bring in the Holy Ghost, you can bring in the gospel? What's the answer? You want to conduct a rally, crusade, in a university during an examination period? You must be kidding. Which student will come? But then, when in Nigeria, when secret courts were taking over the universities, and you send your children to the university and you are not sure they will come back alive, the Spirit of God ministered to me and said, take the Holy Ghost service there. And I started with the University of Ibadan, the oldest university. We went to the university. We told them we are coming for Holy Ghost service. Every student came out. Lecturers, the vice chancellor, everybody. Oh, I don't know what to call vice chancellor here. President. Okay, because I just want to be sure I'm speaking your language. And to make matters interesting, maybe because the devil saw what was about to happen, just as I took the microphone, the rain began. And you would expect that the students would scatter. Not one fellow moved. Not even the VC, the vice chancellor. And when we gave the altar call, because the Holy Spirit was there, I said, listen, I'm not here to joke. Those of you who want to forsake your secret societies, come forward. 3,000 came. Why? Because it is the Holy Spirit in action. How do I make the impossible possible? Holy Spirit. How do I perform miracles? Holy Spirit. How do I win multitudes? Holy Spirit. And then number three, in the question that Mary asked, she was saying, if I become pregnant without meeting a man, I will become a wonder. Question number three, how do I become a wonder? The answer, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Acts 3, verse 1 to 11. The Bible tells us that after Peter said to the man, the layman at the beautiful gate, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give unto you, and I'm giving it to you in the name of Jesus. What was it that he said he had? The power that comes from the Holy Spirit. After he held the man by the hand, and the man began to walk and to leap and to praise God, the Bible said everybody looked at him in amazement. How do I become a wonder? How will it be that all of a sudden those who used to know me will say, are you the same person? The Holy Spirit. Not anything else. Just the Holy Spirit. For example, take Peter. Peter was a fisherman. But when you read Acts chapter 5, from verse 14 to 16, Acts 5, 14 to 16, the Bible said, the shadow of Peter, shadow, began to heal the sick. Now that's a wonder, without any doubt at all. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 12, Acts 19, verse 11 to 12, the Bible said, God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that his handkerchiefs and aprons began to heal the sick. Demons would see his handkerchiefs coming and they would run. Now that's a wonder. When I was a lecturer at the University of Lagos several years ago, my professor, my dean, was Professor Chike Obi. He loved me and I loved him for mathematical reasons. But then I left the university, went to another university before God called me to full-time ministry. And then one day, some years ago, I wasn't in when Professor Obi came. He was now retired. But he traveled for all the way from his hometown to the camp. I wasn't in. He met my wife. And he said he will come back. And then came back. He said, I just want to be sure that it's my boy, who is the one now making the waves all over the world. I knew you to be a mathematician. Is it the same Adeboye? I said, it's the same me. But it's also not the same me. Because the one you knew was a mathematician. The one you know is a carrier of the Holy Spirit. And it makes a difference. How do you become a wonder? Some years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago now, the government in Nigeria said they wanted to be sure that those who are receiving retirement benefits, pension, right, are still alive. You know, it is possible for pension to continue after the pensioner was dead. So they said every pensioner must show up in a particular place so that they will see the fellow. And since I'm a pensioner from the university, just for the fun of it, I decided to go. So I got there and I stood before the office. I said, "You mean to tell me you don't know I'm alive?" He said, "Forgive me, Daddy, but I'm only obeying instructions." But that's by the way. As I was there, another woman came, a pensioner, who saw me and began to scream. And I'm sure it's because of her God took me there. She said she's been pregnant. That's what she thought. For, I think, can't remember now, either 14 years or so. "Will you please pray for me?" Very elderly woman now. I said, "All right, mommy." I laid my hands on her and prayed a simple prayer, and I turned to go. As I was entering my car, she delivered. Right there in the office. I mean, the whole place was full of blood and everything. And while people were wondering about what is happening, some people were wondering, "Who is that man who touched her?" When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you become a wonder. How many of you want to be a wonder to your world? It takes the Holy Spirit. Number four. When Mary asked that question, she was saying, we all know the laws of nature. For a woman to be pregnant, she must meet with a man. These are the laws of nature. What you are talking about is saying that the laws of nature will be suspended. How? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33, Matthew 14, 22 to 33, the Bible tells us that Peter walked on water. I know many of you just remember the fact that after he walked on water for a while, he began to sink. But you need to know that at least before he began to sink, he walked on water. And when he cried out, even when he was sinking and he cried out and Jesus grabbed his hand, Jesus didn't carry him to the boat. The two of them walked together into the boat. The laws of gravity got suspended for Peter. Do you know if the Holy Spirit gets involved with you, laws of nature can be suspended? Many a times you go to the hospital and they say, "Oh, the problem with you is due to old age." Now that's the law of nature. When the Holy Spirit steps in, he will suspend the laws of nature. So that law that says you cannot conceive will be suspended today. That law that says you cannot reach your goal will be suspended today. When a virgin conceives, it actually means walking through locked doors without keys. Because if a woman is a virgin, the door to her womb is locked. And it has to be opened by her meeting a man. But this time, because of the involvement of the Holy Spirit, there is admission gained without the door being opened. Suspending the law of nature. And you know it happened in Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. Acts 12, verse 5 to 11. When the angel came to release Peter from prison, the handcuffs drop off on his own. The doors open on their own. I'm believing God for someone that all the doors that have been locked against you will be opening this time. Because of the Holy Spirit. So that where they say you can't come this far, before they know what is happening, you will already be there. If you read that story very well, this story in Acts chapter 12, when they sent the guards to go and bring Peter for execution, they came and they said, the doors remain locked. But when we opened the door, there was no prisoner. I believe that God is about to spring a surprise on your enemies. That where they thought they had locked you in, they will see the door, still locked, but will be far, far away. Point number five. When Mary said, how can this thing be? She was saying, I'm not really doubting you, angel. The question is, how do I share the testimony? Who is going to believe me when I say that, I didn't meet a man, but I'm pregnant all the same? Who will believe me? In other words, he was saying, how do I have a testimony that will be difficult to share? You know, there are testimonies and there are testimonies. Oh, yes. There are some testimonies that you share and people will say, are you the only one worshiping God? How can God be so good to you? I've told the story before. One of my sons, a bishop, came to visit me and he loves to testify, which is a very good thing. You should testify. And that's one thing I should have told you. On Friday, there are many of you here that have received miracles from God. And you have not yet testified. You need to testify. Because one of the reasons why many of you have not received yet another miracle is because God said, the one I did, you haven't told anyone about it. You are supposed to be my witness. So he came and he was saying, Daddy, this is now how far we have grown, our church has become this big, this how much money is coming, this is what God is doing, this is what God is doing, and he kept on and on. After some time, he stopped. They said, Daddy, I'm the only one talking. You haven't said anything about what God is doing for you. I said, my son, if I tell you all that God is doing for me, you say God is partial. There are testimonies that are difficult to share. And some of you will receive some of them. In Psalm 126, verse 1 to 3, he said,